I know it's here somewhere. Finally. Oh, it's time for the doc. You're listening to Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. Take it away, doctor.
Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon, is brought to you by GoToMeeting with HD Faces.
Well, it's that time again, and the doctor is in. It's time for another Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon netcast. I've had several people ask me, why do you always put your hands in the air when you say netcast? I don't know. It's what I do. Besides, it makes for a great action shot. Just saying. You know, when you do the thumbnail for the show, never mind. Anyway, so we are proud members of the Tech Podcast Network, techpodcast.com. If it's tech, it's right here on Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. You'll notice once again, I'm in my easy chair in the living room because I've run out of gumption. I'm doing the show on a Sunday afternoon because I had no gumption yesterday to do the show. So this may be a low-energy version of the Dr. Bill Show because the gumption level is just not quite getting up the scale where it should be. You are familiar with gumption, right? Yes. That is a term meaning gumption. I don't know what else it means. Anyway, so we're going to look at some stuff as we usually do. First item we have is that there are 40 million Windows 8 licenses that have been sold in the first month of sales. Yes. And so they sold 4 million copies the first day. That's pretty good. And for the month, they sold 40 million, which is not bad. You know, that is actually more than Windows 7 sales were in the first month. So they beat their old record there. So not too bad. They're saying that they expect there to be more sales as we get further into the holiday season and people are buying more new computers because the new computers are going to be coming Windows 7. So, makes sense, I guess. We shall see. The next item is strange. I actually wish I could show this to you right here on the netcast without getting into trouble with YouTube and all of those folks that want to say, why are you showing other people's videos on your show? Well, sometimes they're funny, like this one. This video you must go see. Okay, now in order to do that, all you have to do is go to drbill.tv, drbill.tv, as it says here on the screen. Go to that website and find the November the 29th posting that says a new Microsoft IE advert aimed at me. And if you watch it, you'll understand why. This is basically the Microsoft Internet Explorer haters commercial. And it is funny. I got to admit, Microsoft, you know, they really kind of scored some geek cred points on this one because it is quite funny. And it's actually self-deprecating on their part. And no, that is not a term that has anything to do with going to the bathroom. Don't confuse it with that, okay? No, deprecating. You know, sometimes you just gotta throw these things out there. The vocabulary things. I mean, I make words up, so sometimes you don't know if I'm making something up or being intelligent. Yes, Fred. Yes, we love Fred. By the way, for those of you that don't know about Fred, Fred's the guy that puts the things up here on the screen, often with a wry sense of humor. Yes. And he sometimes gives me a hard time. What can I say? By the way, his name is spelled P-H-R-E-D, Fred. Because, as you can tell from his comments, he's a very different fellow. Yes. So, let's talk about our wonderful sponsor. Our sponsor this week is Citrix Systems with their amazingly cool software called GoToMeeting. GoToMeeting with HD Faces. And I'm telling you, they have, this package is awesome because they just keep improving it. They keep adding new features and things into it. You know, used to, you could view a GoToMeeting session on your iPad. Now you can actually start and run a GoToMeeting session initiated from your iPad. They just keep adding to it. They added in HD Faces where you can have an HD webcam and be able to have conversations and meetings with each other through an HD interface. Dude, I'm telling you, you can show your desktop. You can just do so much with it. So I'd encourage you to check it out because it is an amazing package for collaboration, for joining together with other folks, and being able to have a meeting without having to physically go to a location. You can do it right from your own home, your office, vacation, wherever you happen to be. You can collaborate and come together with GoToMeeting. So I encourage you to check it out. If you use this special code word podcast, go to GoToMeeting.com, add in that little string podcast into the field there, click it, and you'll get 30 days free trial of GoToMeeting, and that's awesome. Remember, meeting is believing. And until you try it, you just don't understand how cool this software is. So check it out. All right, let's talk about something else that I want to share with you that I'm really excited about. Now, I know we're taking a bit of a, we're jumping off of the blog a bit here for this particular little jaunt. But it's going to be awesome for you because I want to show you Linux Mint. It is now officially my current favorite client version of Linux. I've tried, as you know, Fedora. I've used for a very long period of time Ubuntu with a Unity interface, and then I went to the LXDE interface, and I just tried all kinds of different things. But I'm telling you, dude, Linux Mint is da bomb, okay? I'm serious. I installed it on my work PC. At work, and I'm telling you, man, it is so awesome. And that is the build that I want to show you in this video right now.
Okay, what we're looking at here is my Linux Mint installation from work. And I installed this on my work PC, and I'm telling you, it is awesome. As I said, it is the bomb. All right, so you need to check out what we're doing here with Linux Mint. Now, what I want to show you is pretty straightforward. Let's go over and look at some of the menu options here. Notice how they're categorized into different menu sections. Or you can come up and see all of them at once, which is kind of neat. Be able to see all the programs installed. And you can also very easily add something to the desktop by just clicking on add to the desktop. Talk about easy. I mean, Linux is never this easy in the past, but this makes it simple and easy. The other thing I wanted to show you, very important, is look how fast LibreOffice came up. Bam! And then bam! Spreadsheet. Isn't that cool? That is fast. And it's very fast, very clean, awesome, awesome system here. Now, the other thing I wanted to demo here for you is this. This is eSword. You know, eSword is my favorite Windows-based free Bible system. Now, here I can launch it on Linux Mint. Notice it's coming up. Look how clean and smooth it is, but it's running under Wine. Now, Wine stands for, of course, Wine is not an emulator. Recursive, yes, I know. Wine. But notice, everything's working here in eSword, and this is a Windows program. It was very simple and easy to get it installed. And then another one here is Composer. Now, Composer has a version both for Linux and for Windows, but there's some incompatibilities with certain versions of Linux that are newer, like Mint, which is based on Ubuntu. So I've installed the Windows version of Composer right here under Wine. And look how quick and easy it runs. Very, very nice. I've been very impressed with the integration of Wine here into Linux Mint. Of course, we've got the regular Google Chrome browser with all of my settings. We've got the Firefox, of course, is there. We've even got a virtual machine, VirtualBox of Windows 7 here. Notice, running under Linux Mint. So this is a VirtualBox virtual machine for things like my Active Directory programs that I use at work that wouldn't install very readily under Linux. I've got them here in the virtual machine, and I can run it just as I would, you know, a regular system if I need to run any Windows programs within the Windows environment. So very, very neat and very clean how all this works. Linux Mint, like I said, look at this, backgrounds. I can change the background by just clicking on it and then hovering and selecting different backgrounds. Lots of Star Trek, as you can see, of course. And here's Tux of Borg. Let me get this out of the way. There you go. Tux of Borg. All right. And, of course, Tux eyeing the Microsoft butterfly here. Yeah. But at any rate, I got a lot of different backgrounds here, but the one I'm enjoying right now, of course, you can see here, good old Star Trek, the Enterprise. The one I'm enjoying most right now is the one I started out with here, which is the Linux Mint logo. From Freedom Came Elegance.
So, what do you think? Isn't that cool? I just had to show that to you because it's so awesome. It's awesome on so many different levels. I like the interface. I like the look and the feel and the way it works. And the way they made it so simple to use Wine. Matter of fact, maybe next week, I will do a little run through of setting up Wine and how to use that to run your Windows programs under Linux. That would be cool. So I may just do that. Now, let us proceed back into the blog, drbill.tv, drbill.tv, and pick up where we left off. This is very cool. This was a post I did on November the 30th, which was Friday, and it was my birthday. Ha ha! Yes, Friday was my birthday, and I was minding my own business. I got birthday greetings from Facebook folks. I got birthday greetings from Google Plus folks. I got birthday greetings from, you know, like the LinuxQuestions.org forums and all kinds of places. But then I went to plain old Google. I went to Google something. And there was a Google Doodle for me on my birthday. That was just so cool. And when you hover over the Google birthday cake doodle, it said, "Happy birthday, Dr. Bill." Dude, I felt like some kind of celebrity. Now, I know it's because I'm logged into Google Plus and I'd given them my birthday and they did this and they do it for anybody, but it was just cool. It's like I said, you know you're a geek when you get a Google Doodle for your birthday and go, "Dude," and just get so excited. So I posted the doodle in the blog so you could see it. And I even hovered over it so it would do the "Happy Birthday, Dr. Bill," and, you know, you could see that as well. Yes. So that way you could enjoy my enjoyment of it. Okay. Whoa! Way to go, Fred. Fred likes to spring these things on me when I least expect it. And it's a Geek Software of the Week. Geek Software of the Week this week is SpyBot Search and Destroy version 2. Now, this is a little unusual. I don't normally do this. SpyBot Search and Destroy has been a Geek Software of the Week, but it was that a long long, long time ago. I've been doing the show for about 8 years, and it was probably about 7 years ago that I did Spybot Search and Destroy as a Geek Software of the Week. So it's been a while, but I don't normally repeat them. However, this is version 2, and version 2 is a pretty big milestone for Spybot Search and Destroy. So I encourage you to check it out. It now does a much better job of finding the spyware and malware and all the other evil things that are out there. Yes. Next item. By the way, you can read more about Spybot Search and Destroy, but it's pretty straightforward. It's been around a long time. So, you know, anyway. Next item is Ouya. Ouya. Ouya open source console, gaming console, $99 console, will ship in time for Christmas. Yes, so you can go ahead and order it in advance, and it will ship in time for Christmas. It's a Kickstarter project, and basically, they only asked for $950,000 in cash for the Kickstarter, but they got $8.6 million. Dude! In other words, there's a lot of market out there for an open source gaming console. People got excited. I can't blame them. So if you get the console, it says the team it said in a post on Kickstarter that the Ouya development kit, the ODK, is currently in the testing phase. Users will be able to create accounts by December 25th. So you can order your console, and then you can get the Ouya development kit and start developing your own open source games. Dude, that would be cool. Me and the Game Master were talking about that. We may get one and develop a game or two. Who knows? Maybe we will develop something that will be awesome. I threw out a bunch of ideas, and he kind of went, yeah, maybe. So we'll see. You know, he's at the at High Point University majoring in game design. So, you know, I've kind of got a bit of an edge when it comes to collaborating with him to design games. Yes, indeed. All right, it's time for Geek Wisdom, the sacred teachings of nerd culture. Are you ready? I don't think we've done this one. Have we done this one? Just in case we have, let me see if there's a backup. Oh, yes. Let's do this one instead of the one I was going to do that we might have already done. This one I know we haven't done yet. Okay. This one is, there is no spoon. The Matrix. This is a random phrase that I throw around quite a bit. Actually, two random phrases that have to do with spoons that I throw around every so often is, there is no spoon, and spoon! The latter, of course, being from The Tick. That's his battle cry. Which makes you wonder about The Tick. But anyway, there is no spoon. Here's what the author of the book says about the phrase. Of all the people who tried desperately to make Neo understand a thing, I'll do a little censoring here, that was happening in The Matrix, it was the spoon-bending child who got closest. Yes, by pointing out that the world is malleable because the world isn't real. The Matrix world. This world, far as I know, is real. But his world. A little disheartening to a man invested in the realities of his known world, to be sure. But this little home truth came to Neo at a key moment. Yes. We've all been the recipient of one of these. At a time when we're confused and unsure, someone tells us something that seems not only contradictory to what we want to hear, but unhelpful to the point of non sequitur. On the other hand, just because we don't want to hear something doesn't mean it's not good advice. If even Neo was able to grasp, whoa, surely we can too. Yes. All right, fine print time. Fine print is so hard. Inexplicably, bending spoons became a visual signifier of supposedly paranormal phenomenon during the 1970s boom in ESP studies, thanks to self-declared psychokinetic performer Uri Geller. A tidbit of trivia that isn't all that exciting. Not exactly fun, but hey, oh well. But they have a picture here of a spoon, including one that's kind of squiggly. Anyway, there is no spoon. The thing you must understand, Neo, is there is no spoon. I mean, come on, he's being played by Keanu Reeves. You can't expect him to be the brightest bulb in the light fixture, if you know what I mean. Okay. So, once he figured it out, though, dude, he did all kinds of cool stuff. I still like my favorite scene is at the very end of the first movie when he's standing there in the phone booth. I mean, there's no phone booths anymore, but it's still cool. He's standing there in the phone booth and they're playing the music. Cool music. And he looks up and then just goes swish. And his coat is fluttering like a cape in the wind. That's just so cool. If I was him, I'd be doing that all the time. I'd be flying around. I've always thought that would be a lot of fun. Yes, flying. Having a big cool coat flutter in the wind while you did it, that would make it cooler too, particularly if you had the glasses, the dark glasses, which I don't happen to have any on me. If I did, I would put them on and look cool. Dark glasses automatically, instantly make you look cool. I don't know why. I think it's some kind of cosmic, genetic, you know, psychological mumbo jumbo thing. Or something. Anyway, that will do it for this week. Remember, until next time, the doctor is out of here. Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon, is a production of DrBillBailey.net with all the honors, rights, and privileges thereunto appertaining.